All right, well, that is 5:30 by my watch, so I will call this April 27th, 2017 meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order. Would you like to cover yours? And we can progress with the roll call.
Chairperson Hayes.
Present.
Vice Chair Solinger.
Here.
Trustee Livrati.
Here.
Trustee Long.
Trustee
Trustee Patton.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Moving on to item two, public comment. If any members of the public would like to address the board at this time. Seeing none, we'll move on to item three, approval of the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. Did everybody have a chance to review those minutes? And were there any corrections?
I just questioned where it mentioned the replacement of the signboard. And we're not truly replacing it, are we? We're just replacing the insides.
That is correct. It's just the LED components, not the actual structure of the sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that the minutes be accepted. I'll move that the minutes be approved and as submitted.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Go ahead.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item four, the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
The report is in your packet. It was submitted a couple of weeks ago, so there's not a whole lot to add. We did have a very successful author event on the 18th. Bonnie Nishikawa came and spoke about her book about the Northern Nevada Children's Home and her life growing up in that home. It was very interesting. It had a very good turnout, so that was good. And we have an upcoming, May 13th, an upcoming parking lot book sale and family fun day. I don't have this ready to pass out to you yet because I have two items that have not been confirmed, so I'm holding out for them. But we will be having a parking lot book sale. We're going to have the pedal library over there. We're going to have a food truck. The fire department's bringing a small fire truck or a paramedic truck and firemen for the kids to meet. We're going to have face painting. I'm still waiting to see if we have adoptable pets and snow cones. And that will run from 9:30 to 4 on Saturday, May 13th, in our parking lot. That's it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Moving on to item 5, Library Board of Trustees business, starting with 5A, presentation and discussion about the current library board replacement fine, or library card replacement fines.
Thank you, Jeremy. So Seema Boyd for the record. This item was actually brought to my attention by our access services manager, Kathy Rush. And so I'll go ahead and just let her briefly summarize why. And then Maria Cuesta here, who is our librarian, our circulation librarian more specifically, will explain what this looks like, what it looked like before, and we will kind of assume why we did it before, because the individual who had requested it before is no longer at the library.
Kathy Rush for the record. So we used to have a flat fee of $2 at the Carson City Library, and then in 2012 we proposed that we go to a library card fee that would increase with each card that a patron needed, and that is something we want to revisit, and Maria Cuesta, our circulation librarian, will explain what we think would work better.
Hi, Maria Cuesta, circulation librarian for the record. So as Kathy said, our previous policy that was approved in October 2012 had the progressive increase in replacement costs. And so our new, the proposal we have is that we update the policy to a flat rate of $1. A few reasons why we think this would be a really great benefit for our patrons is that this would provide consistency. Patrons would know that would always cost $1 for a replacement cost, and there would be no disagreement about that number of replacements overall, because in the past there's been issues with that. This would increase access to our library services. If a patron loses cards frequently and they have a difficult time affording replacement costs, this would make it more manageable for them. And, you know, taking into account youth patrons and people who may not have the ability to pay, you know, a lot of money, so this would make it more affordable. And this would also continue to alleviate costs for the library. The library would receive adequate compensation for the cost of new library cards, and staff time would be saved by eliminating the need to track the number of replacements in patron records. And of course, we would have exceptions for this rule, including, you know, if a patron has damage due to regular wear and tear, the card is stolen, other extenuating circumstances where the card may be lost or damaged, we could look into waiving those fees for them. And then obviously their first card with the library would be free. So that wouldn't change. But any questions or?
What is the cost in materials and labor for a library card, please?
Each library card is less than $1. I believe it's between 67 cents and 72 cents per card, depending on the type, because we have three different kinds, the internet only, and the Premier card costs less than the standard library card that we have.
And that is due to the amount that we ordered at the time, so the quantity. Staff time, I would say that it probably, to replace a library card, 30 seconds to 1 minute, depending on what you're updating. So depending on what staff member that might be, it would be a different rate, but it is not very significant.
And so right now it's $2, $3, and then $5? Is that the current structure?
So what you see up here that's highlighted, that was the first motion. It was seconded, but there was an objection by board member Robert Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And so the what came out of that was the first card was $1, the second was $2, and the third was $3.
Okay. And as I understand the issue, one of the biggest problems what we have with it being a progressive fee scale is that the ability to track whether or not, you know, someone has had a card replaced one or two times is onerous. Correct?
Correct, yes.
If there's no more discussion, I would entertain a motion on this item.
I'll make a motion that we change the library card fee to a flat $1 per every time you have to make one.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item 5B, presentation and discussion of ALA conference travel funding.
Okay, so with this second item here, I'm going to go ahead and bring up, just so you can see the backup material on the screen as well. In the library gift fund, we do have travel funds. We also have travel funds in the city fund. So the city fund is the 101, and the gift fund is the 230. That's the account number that it starts with. And you can go ahead and look in the budget piece if you'd like to, but I did kind of summarize here what that would look like from the gift fund, which is under your purview of the 230. Now, a little bit of background about why we would be using travel funds from this account is in November. When was NLA? October. In October, we took all of our staff down to Las Vegas for the Nevada Library Association Conference for professional development time and team building time, which was a very great experience. But what that did do is that depleted all of our funds for travel in our city budget. And so we are coming to you to ask for this amount here, which is $2,836.92. And this is just some information about the conference, but the main reason we are asking for this is we were invited to present a program that the library has. And I know that Natalie had kind of orchestrated that with Kim Babcock, our digitorium facilitator, who is unable to attend the event. But this is just a summary of what the program is: community partnerships and digital literacy through public service announcements. Libraries are increasingly finding ways to help their school-age patrons to communicate creatively and make positive impact on their communities through video projects. Carson City Library in Nevada partnered with the Carson City School District to help high school freshmen create 60-second PSAs that raise awareness of social issues at their school. We are delighted to have the representatives from the Carson City Library and School District to talk about their experience and share tips. So one of the other presenters that will be with us is Ananda Campbell, who is the head librarian at the Carson City School District. So are there any questions specifically about this travel while I look up the budget real quick on one of these? So what we have available in the gift fund travel is $4,131.10.
I'm sorry, what was that figure again?
$4,131.10 is what is available in the 230-000-455-0580 line item, which is the gift fund travel line item.
Okay, so what are you presenting at this conference again?
So we're presenting about the public service announcements and the partnership with the school district.
Okay.
To other librarians across the nation.
When's the trip?
The trip is at the end of July. The dates are the, or end of June, June 22nd through June 27th.
So it'll go this fiscal year.
Correct, and that is why we are coming to you for travel funding, because we do not have any more city funding for travel in this current fiscal year.
But you only have 2 months left, right?
Correct. But this trip is within this fiscal year.
Right. So if you're going to use a large portion of it, there's not going to be too much travel left.
Correct. Yes.
I don't see a problem.
Right, you're saying that we don't need to be concerned about depleting the majority of that $4,000.
Right.
It's a good thing to do. What is left over will roll over into
right.
the next year.
Yeah.
So it, yeah. you know, it does roll over.
And I think that's a great opportunity and exposure for our little city library to be exposed to the entire country. Mm-hmm. Or the great program that you have with the city, I mean with the school district. Mm-hmm. So I would say go for it.
All right, if there was no further discussion on the issue, then I would entertain a motion.
I'll approve the request. I'd like to make a motion to approve the request.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item six, the Library Director Administrative Reports.
Okay, Sina Lloyd for the record. I'm gonna try to be nice to you guys over there so that you know who's talking, if you can't recognize my voice already. But I do have a report. I have actually a few things to cover in my report today. this is the written report. We submit these quite early in the process so that we can get them into Granicus and get them out to the public. So I have additional information that I am going to cover. But as an update, SB 115, which was the gun bill, the gun and libraries bill, did pass the Senate on the 21st. SB 143, which requires a public school to have a library and a librarian, was heard re-referred to finance and is exempt. So it's exempt from some of the deadlines so that it won't just die without potentially another hearing. And SB 313 was almost unanimously passed in the Senate on the 17th. What that does is it gives it somewhat changes the NRS related to library boards and includes library foundations and the ability for them to lease and enter into lease agreements for libraries. And the only dissenting vote was Senator Kiekeffer. We then have on here a story. The Nevada Library Association ran a series of six stories to the week before National Library Day or Nevada Library Day, and to the week during and to the week after. And this is just a clip of one of those items. And during Nevada Library Legislative Day, myself, Diane, really half of our staff was able to be over at the legislature. We had staff who have never been able to sit on the floor and were able to sit with their representative, talk to their representative, and experience that, which was great. Both Senator Kiekeffer and Assemblyman Kramer were very generous in letting our staff sit with them. So I want to recognize that. We also have our performance measures, which are up online. These are three of the measures that the city manager selected that he wanted to display on the performance measures for the city. So library material circulated, and there is additional detail in that. As you can see, one of these boxes breaks out to one of these more detailed boxes. And then digital access and equality, that's what you're seeing here. So it also includes number of Wi-Fi users and number of gigabytes used by Wi-Fi users. And then patron research at the library. So the questions they're asking staff, we're recording those. We're not recording the actual questions. We're recording the fact that they asked a question. I then want to just briefly talk about the 360. All of you and the staff were asked to submit a 360 for my review, which will take place at the next meeting. But I just wanted to kind of talk to you about what we've done together as a team for a little bit of our team building in our staff development days. So one of the items that we've implemented is the Kiersey Temperament Sorter. And this has essentially really kind of opened the eyes for some of our staff on how we communicate, how we can communicate better with different types of people. Their main areas are artisan, guardian, rational, and idealist. I am a rational, and I'll tell you, I'm a rational mastermind, apparently. But it helps me understand when I look at what some of my staff members are, or my managers are, how I can communicate to them better and in a manner in which they're going to appreciate and respect. So that was a good exercise for us to do. I then have included here the report that I provided to the Friends of the Carson City Library. I had dropped this off at the Friends and headed over to the legislature. We were able to talk with some of our representatives from Washington, D.C. on a couple of these days as well. And myself and Amy Lauder actually will be heading to D.C. as part of National Library Legislative Day. She leaves Saturday. She used to live there, just side note. But she leaves Saturday, I leave Sunday, and then we'll be back on Wednesday. But we do have meetings scheduled with there's eight other individuals going from across the state with our representatives. to discuss IMLS, the Institute of Museum and Library Services funding. So this was just a summary of what I presented to them. This hashtag Save IMLS is, if you are active on social media and you do want to talk about what this might mean for the Carson City Library or other libraries around the nation, that's what is being used and talked about. I wanted to encourage, but we actually had the Board of Supervisors pass the first round of the budget reviews on 4/20. That included the improvements for part of our flooring, paint on the inside and outside, as well as 5 public access computers. So that does have to be approved again in May before it is final, but that is what we are looking at this time. I then also wanted to include in here the response to the questions from Dr. Nelson, who had presented at the last board meeting in public comment, just so that you can get an idea of what was provided to him. And his interpretation and my interpretation of that first section of overdue and damaged items that were billed to a patron are a little bit different. What I see when I see that 99 number of items were missing from the fiscal year 14, but 2,608 are missing from fiscal year 16, I see that we have people bringing items back. They're bringing them back late, but they are bringing them back versus they're just stealing them. So it's not an increasing issue. In 2014, that 99 number would have been higher, but currently, as of today, it's only 99 items from that fiscal year.
So are you saying that fiscal year 15 and 16 could change if people brought the things back?
Correct.
Okay.
And they probably have since they ran these numbers. Okay, so that's the information there. I then want to, I hope I'm not stealing Diane's thunder.
Yes, you are.
Okay, then I'm not going to do that one. I will skip that one. No, I'll skip it. I'll skip it. I really want to play it, but I'll skip it. Okay, so the next item we have here is, we'll call it Library Bug Gate. Why not? You did all receive an email from myself about the bed bugs that were discovered on one of the items in the library. Now, that has gone out. That was on Carson Now. We've been responsive there, as well as the health department, to some of those comments and concerns, as well as the appeal. It was on KOH News this morning on the radio, and News 4 interviewed me this afternoon, and it's going to be on at 6 o'clock. They also interviewed Dustin from Health and Human Services. But what I've been told the idea of the interview this afternoon was essentially why we should encourage people to still come to the library and why this is not a problem. So it's, you know, I don't believe that they're trying to make this something bigger than it is. I think they're trying to get people back to the library. What you can see here, this is probably the clearest picture of the situation. So what you see is you see different spots and dots, and that's either smushed bugs, bug fecal matter, or blood after they've eaten. But this right here is a little bug. That is a little bed bug. This is the first book we found and the only book we found with live bed bugs on it. We found some other books that had traces and were contaminated but did not have live bed bugs on them. So what did we do? I've told this story a couple times now, so I'm going to tell it to you guys. But what we did is Maria Cuesta, who was here earlier, she is the one who found the item. She found the item come into the sorter. And that is essentially, I don't want to say why we had a problem, but why we had to look at all of the books that you're going to see in the next slide. But it came in through the sorter. She identified it with Christina, one of our other staff members, Christina Stanfield. And at that point, they bagged it. They told me, we put it outside, and then we began to quarantine the area. So these are all of the items in which we quarantined. As you can see here, this bin with this black bag is the original bin that the item went into. And then we have this is the quarantine of all of the items that are really in that back room that have that are in the vicinity of where this was discovered. Because it did go onto the sorter, it could have potentially gone to any of these spaces. From what we had found in the contaminated books, it had not. It was an issue that was in that one bin. So there's the bin. And the reason you put them in black plastic is if they heat up enough, they will die. It was not a hot enough day for that to happen, and so we worked with Health and Human Services to develop a plan of action on how we were going to need to do this. And we also worked with the city's contracted pest control specialist. So this is myself and Christina, who volunteered to examine all of the books. And so we suited up, and we are in the secret garden. All of the books were bagged after they were in the bins and the carts, because we decontaminated all of the bins and the carts. So we did this process. We put these then onto a cart once we deemed that they were clean. Then staff put them onto another cart before they then came into the library so that we could try to ensure that there was no cross-contamination. So this is the secret garden space where you see all of the black plastic here. That's all of the black bags that were filled with items. We went through over 1,000 items that were potentially contaminated. Only 34 were quarantined because they were in the same bags as the 5 that were contaminated. This is Maria with gloves checking the items checking holds and checking items after we had cleared them to come back into the library. And this is what we did when the sorters were down. We had them place the items in these bins so we could check them and then make sure they were clean. If they were clean, we checked them in and placed them back into the library, and they were clean. Are there any questions about the bed bugs?
I have one. So are all the books that go through the sorter, are they always checked? I mean, like, is that something that would be caught if any other book came in?
So they should be. We touch every single book.
Okay.
And so we are checking it not just for a bug. We're checking it for water damage, mold, any kind of other damage, dog chews, all of that type of thing. Sometimes bed bugs can be very small, or there can be larvae, and that potentially could be a problem. But this is the first time that I have seen this happen at this library since I have been here, and I've been here for, in some capacity, over 4 years.
What was the process to clean the book return?
So you use rubbing alcohol. Rubbing alcohol will kill them instantly. And so we wiped down the sorter with that rubbing alcohol. And we also had pest control come in and do all of the carpet and all of the areas around where people walked in and in the back room where that could have been contaminated. It's hard to use chemicals on the sorter because you'd have to wipe every single thing down, and that means we'd have to disassemble the sorter. Other chemicals other than alcohol.
I guess my concern was, you know, you're on the belt, folks traveling. Is there opportunity to jump off? What happens to the side, the top?
We cleaned it all. But these bed bugs don't jump. They cling. So you could walk up and brush up against a person, and it would get onto you. They're actually, it's 96% are found in homes. And like apartments, condominiums, 93% single family homes, and 74% in motels and hotels, and 17% in libraries.
So has the health department contacted the people whose books these were that were returned?
So we contacted the people. This is actually not a health department issue. Bed bugs are not known to carry any infectious diseases or be carriers or or transmission of those diseases. But they were very helpful in this process.
So is that person going to be able to rent books going forward? I mean,
That person will. We've spoken to that person, and what we're going to work on doing is ensuring that they bring, so in the article that I had sent, we gave a process of if you think your book may be contaminated, how to deal with that. And we've asked him to bring his books to the staff in plastic bags so that we can ensure if they keep coming back with bed bugs, that's something else we're going to have a discussion about. But we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he can still use library services.
I just think that's an awful lot to put on you guys instead of the health department. I understand what you're saying and why they don't do it, but if I were the person, I would much rather have the health department talk to me instead of the librarian. Excuse me.
No, I understand. I do think that bed bugs can be anywhere, and they can come from anywhere. They can be in your most expensive hotel to your least expensive hotel. They can be in anyone's homes. It's a traveling bug. That is actually how it spreads. And so we just have to be vigilant in making sure that we watch for them.
I did have one additional comment to let you know. There is a piece of equipment that we are going to order that is called Thermal Strike. The best way to kill bed bugs is over 118 degrees, 120 degrees. And this particular company has a box system that is fairly reasonable, and we're going to have that as part of our regular process if we do run into bed bugs or other contaminants in the future. So that will be on order.
And that is something that we will be using with the 34 quarantine books that are not contaminated, but to ensure that they are not going back into the collection potentially contaminated. There also is the American Library Association actually does, and the Public Library Association, they have a bed bug training video as well as training information. And this is just an example. It's a 45-page slide about, that's not the example. Here we go. Here's a 45-page slide about treatment in public libraries. This is not an uncommon thing for public libraries.
Cold freezing doesn't work.
This is Diane Baker. Cold does work, but it's much more extreme. It has to be, we've heard below 0 Fahrenheit or below minus 20 Fahrenheit. So it's much colder before it affects them. So books can easily get to over 120 degrees and not have, you know, suffer any damage. So that's the best route for us.
It's too bad that the staff had to be put to all that extra work to do that, but it sounds like you really knew what you were supposed to do, and you did it very efficiently, so kudos to the whole staff.
And I will say it was a learning experience. Like I said, I had never experienced that myself before. I've heard of that, but the staff were very quick to intuitively remove items from the space, and it did take a while. With myself included, there was about 6 hours spent getting those books checked and back into the collection. So it's a lot of time that two of the staff members spent. We do think that there's processes that we can put in place that if it ever did happen again, that we wouldn't have to go through every single one of the books. But that, you know, it's a learning process.
I think that's important for the public to know, because even though, you know, bed bugs is a common problem everywhere you go, I mean, you have to almost look at the reviews on hotels to see if they have issues. because it's very common, but it's still, people don't know a lot about it in the public. So to know that you guys are on top of it and you're handling it quickly, I think is a big deal for the public to know, because then they'll have confidence that, okay, well, they have this issue, but I still feel safe to take my kids there or to go there.
And we tried to convey that in the article. When people read headlines and not the whole article, I think is where some of the problems come in.
Does that thermal device attach to the sorter?
Diane Baker for the record. No, it's a freestanding item. So as anything that is either identified or suspected, it can go into, and it's a sealed box. And then it does have a thermometer on it. It has to stay at the temperature for a certain amount of time to ensure that the heat's gotten through the whole book. But not, it's separate and freestanding.
Is there any cost-effective device that can be put in this sorter that will preempt the issue?
Not that we've been able to identify at this point. There, Las Vegas, Clark County, so we are a small library with a sorter. Most libraries do not have sorters. Las Vegas, Clark County, playing a little bit of phone tag with them, but working with them to see if they've ever had this problem, what they've done. Their sorter is quite large, and I think that would be a good example of something that we might be able to do in the future if they have been able to successfully deal with something or add something to their sorter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any questions about the activities? If not, I can move on to the budget.
It doesn't appear that there are any more questions.
Okay, so the library's budget. What you'll see here, the funding revenue. It's going to zoom out here so you guys can see it on the screen. We are 92, at this point we have spent funding to be 92% general city funded, 2% from the Friends of the Library, 4% from of gift funds, and 2% from grant funds. Our expenditures have been, as you can see here, 91% general funded, 2% grant funded, 4% general funds, and 3% Friends of the Library. The Friends of the Library funding, that does include, or that does not yet include, the signboard. So once that is spent, that will be reflected there as well.
That will be paid tomorrow.
So on the general fund, the 101, what you're going to see here, and you have the detailed budget report on the other side of this, but the graph kind of just shows you these new line items that are in yellow were new line items in January, but I just wanted to keep those highlighted so that you can see kind of what's going on with our budget here. And what you will also see is that we are 75% of the year lapsed, and we are 69% spent. So we do have a little bit of savings there. Some of that, or a lot of that savings, does come from our salaries line item, salaries and benefits. But there is a transfer that will be being made so that we can fund our video surveillance system, as well as $2,000 from the signboard, as approved by IFC and the city manager's office. Are there any questions currently on the city budget? Okay. I also did not remember to say this, but during my report, but we will be working on Library Board of Trustee training and getting that training available for all of you. Either through the state library, or we will be putting on that training. I'm not quite sure how that's going to look yet, but we are going to be working on that so that those who are new board members can get to go through that training again. Some of it is open meeting law training, as well. And then some of it is budget training, so very relevant to what we're talking about. So the next item here is the grant funds. Currently, the state collection development grant is being spent. El Dia de los Niños has been spent, but it was not on the last report to be reported on here. The statewide reading program, that the summer reading program, that was a last year's summer reading program that you see. And then the bully free zone, we're pretty much spent on that. And then our mobile maker space, we are wrapping up spending with that as well. And that is where I'm going to not spoil Diane's thunder, because it's a pretty amazing thunder. And then we have our gift fund. This is what you'll see here. So we have gift fund expenses from the Friends. So the Friends money goes into the gift fund. We then expend that. But I'm just here, we're just showing you what the Friends have spent from the gift fund, or what we've spent from the Friends money from the gift fund, as well as what has been approved and has been spent from the gift fund itself. Are there any questions?
I have one.
Yes.
Looking at the, oh no, these are expenses.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, those are only expenses, not budgeted amount.
What it was, I was looking at the travel fund.
Yeah, and that's what has been expended, right. Correct.
Thank you.
Not a problem. And then you have the detailed budget from the gift fund as well, or the detailed report. If there are no other questions, that is the end of my budget report.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on to item 7, the other administrative reports, starting with the grants admin update.
Okay, this is Diane Baker for the record, and you've had that great buildup all the way through now. So the item that we're going to show you is a video that has been done with the mobile makerspace, and I'll let you take a look at that now.
Something?
Slide that to the right.
One before the semicolon means, it means 1 second.
So Makerspace is bringing science, technology, engineering, and mathematics to the community and the elementary schools and the middle school program.
Let's think about flying or jumping.
To have these programs where kids are getting exposed to this technology early on, so that we can be building that workforce for the future.
You can actually put things together and it clicks inside the head. Today, with stop motion, what they're learning is different technologies.
Let's do another picture.
And you want to do another one?
They're really excited because they know that they can develop and make their own creative object that's individual to them.
They have this partnership with the library and the school. It's a great thing to see kids that are underrepresented in you know, high-tech jobs. I think that's exciting to be able to see that they, you know, they could do as well as anybody if you give them the opportunity.
There you go, and you saw that we were able to have Senator Mo Dennis join us for that particular outing, and that was a great day in order to be able to do the video program. And we're looking to have additional individuals that have expressed some interest to also do some ride-alongs. We're going to contact the mayor and some of the other individuals who had expressed interest. And anyone up there who's interested, we'd love to have you ride along to some of our locations. And they're doing different things. When you go out, we've now moved past doing stop motion for the elementary group, and they're going to be working with Makey Makeys. So, I mean, at everyone at different times, you will see different STEM-based programs that we will be doing with the schools.
I just wanted to add to that. Some of you might not know why it's important that it was Senator Mo Dennis. Senator Dennis is a huge library supporter and advocate. He was a Las Vegas Clark County library board trustee.
And so just a few other items related that are in your report. Just so you know, there is a picture. We have now a space in the City Hall garage, which is their secured garage underneath City Hall. The Sheriff's Department had was a little full, so we were able to be able to set this up, and Sina was able to make the connections, so we were able to get our position here. So every night and over the weekends when it's not out, it is in the garage there. And then to loop back also to Nevada Library Day, we were able to have the mobile makerspace in front of the legislature, operational. We had a number of things running. It kind of, when it got really windy, and it did get really windy that afternoon, it did, we had to shut down the 3D printer because the temperature and the wind would affect what we could print. But we did have a lot of interest in individuals there, and we shared the front space in front of the legislature with the Humboldt County Bookmobile. They were on the other side. They came in for the day, and they were there open for everyone to see, and that day also happened to be National Bookmobile Day. So it was perfect to be there and be able to have that in front of individuals that were there. And we had legislators, their staff and families come by as well. So it was a great day. And that's all I had. Any questions?
Have you let the mayor use the 3D printer yet? He's dying to use it. I know he is, if he hasn't used it already.
We will make sure he has a chance to use that when he goes out with
you
us.
You will make his day.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Diane. All right, moving on to the next report, the Access Services Report.
Kathy Rush for the record, Access Services Manager. So in your report, you'll see that the first item is that we have moved the self-checkout stations from where they used to be to the center of the room. And that has accomplished a few things. The area around the info desk is where they used to be is not as congested as it was, so that patrons can better access their holds and use the copy machine. It's also more clearly marks that side of the info desk as a staff only area, and we will soon be having a glass partition put up there with a sliding door so that patrons are not as likely just to walk up and call to us, you know, that they need help over, you know, that area. Also, patrons needing help with self-service when they're doing checkout are then encouraged to get in line to get that help so that there's more consistent public service being provided to everyone, particularly the people who are already in line. And I think it looks nice where it is. All the units that the self checkouts are housed in match the OPACs, which were already over there, and so now it's a nice little cohesive circle and looks quite nice right there. The second item on the report highlights the library's weekly driving route to transport materials to and from some of the clan libraries. This is something that our library assistant Haley Swift does every week, and I'm not sure that some of our, you know, public is aware of the extra time and work it goes into doing that, but it's very efficient. She loads up and drives an average of 12 to 14 bins of holds on her route. She stops at the Nevada State Library, Archives and Records, the Dayton Branch Library, and the Churchill County Library, and then she returns loaded up with the materials they have for our library. The Dayton Library disperses materials to Lyon County, Fernley, Silver Stage, and Smith Branch Libraries, and so we're really distributing materials to eight different locations, all in about a 3 to 4 hour timeline. So driving these materials instead of mailing them saves on the cost of shipping. It saves the staff time to box and unbox all those materials, and it reduces the time that patrons wait to get their holds. So we've found it to be more efficient. Any questions?
How long have they actually been doing that?
We've probably been doing it for over a year and a half. We used to mail out items to Churchill. I think we've been driving to Dayton longer, but we decided to extend our reach out to Churchill because we have so many items for them, and it wasn't that much further.
Well, I know a couple of years ago the shipping costs were really kind of eaten into your budget, so figured that was probably when you started.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Moving on to our collection development update.
Amy Lauder, Collection Development Manager. Our main thing this month for April is our Capital City Reads program that is sponsored by the Friends of the Carson City Library. And this year was a little bit different. Usually we have one book that everybody reads, the same book. This year we had a theme. So we were able to purchase handout copies of three different titles, which are pictured here, for people to read. They are almost all gone. I think there's a couple copies of Happy City left if you want one. But everything else has been taken home. We gave out a lot of them, actually, on Legislative Day when we had our pedal library. Good morning. That thing. There is Diane giving away books. She gave away lots of them, so that was fantastic. That was really fun. There were a lot of people really excited about that. And we had partnered with Creative Learning to hold a book tasting event at the beginning of the month where people got to look at some of these different titles. We also had 10 other titles that were recommended additional reading that we were able to get some copies of and ebooks of for people to kind of expand their reading if they had an interest in a particular topic, whether it was like government or walkability or urban design or data. Or there were like all kinds of great things. So that was really fun. We had some good conversations with some people, got people talking about what they are interested in, what they want from their communities, which is really what we're trying to get out of that. Another exciting thing this month, we were able to add some new digital resources, which is always fun. I feel like I talk about OverDrive like every month, but they keep adding cool stuff. So. But I'll start with Auto Repair Reference Center, which is something that our patrons have been asking for, an online resource for auto repair materials. For a long time, we've had them in big, giant binders in the reference section and the nonfiction section, but they just don't make them anymore. Like, if you look at them, the last ones are from a few years ago. So we aren't able to get those in print anymore. So now we're able to get all the new information. They keep this updated for us. So that's now accessible online with your library card. And at the same time, we added Novelist Select for our catalog, which is my favorite thing. I think it's really cool. Sina's going to pull it up. And what that does is if you go to our online public access catalog and look at any fiction book owned by the Carson City Library, it will also show you recommended similar titles. If it's in a series, it will show other titles in that series and what order they come in. It'll tell you a little bit about the author. It might show you similar authors. There it is. It's under the suggestions and more. You might also like some of these. And it even gives you like a little, if you hover over it, you can say, I think this is a good recommendation or I think it's a terrible recommendation. So you can kind of add some data to that. Which is pretty cool, kind of like Netflix. And it links out to the Goodreads profile for the book, so you can read a little bit more about it, see what other people thought of it. It's just really neat. And you can also link to, like, we've had novelists for a long time, and I think some of our staff use it, but it's not super obvious how to use it to users, because you have to like go out, you have to sign into EBSCO, you have to look for something, you say, oh, that looks really cool, now I have to go back to the OPAC and see if they have it. It's kind of complicated, and this kind of brings everything together, so I really like that a lot. And for OverDrive, we were trying out a database from a different company that provided digital comics, which was really neat, but the interface was not super user-friendly, so we had a very few super dedicated users, and other people were just kind of, the barrier to entry was just a little bit too much. But OverDrive also provides digital graphic novels and comics, so I said, well, we already have a lot of people using it, it's been working really well, we're going to add those. So we've added some new titles with that, so they have really popular titles. Like, we can't keep Walking Dead on the shelf. Now we always have it because it's digital. It can't run away. So I think that's really exciting. So there's a special page if you go to the site. She's bringing it up for us. If you go over to the left-hand side, once it loads. Are you on a...
It may be coming up as a mobile device because my screen is so weird.
I think you're on the mobile site. So if you go on the right-hand side, it's not on the left-hand side, under that little menu there should be, there it is, graphic novels. And that will bring you to all of that, which is really fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So always new stuff. We had a really fun, not on the report, I think I talked a couple of months ago, we've been adding more collections, resources, classes, and how-tos, events. And we were able to partner with the Adam Sub today. We had our Reference USA representative, which is one of our, Reference USA is one of our business databases the city provides funding for. And he was in town today, so he came to the Adam Sub for a brown bag. We had great attendance, lots of questions, lots of interest. So that was really nice. It was fun. That's all. Any questions? Okay.
Thank you, Amy. Moving on to our creative learning update.
Natalie Wood, creative learning manager for the record. I have two events coming up that I just wanted to share within the report. May 4th, it's our Star Wars Day. It was a huge success last year, so we are going to do it again. The lightsaber was probably the best part of it last year, the most enticing of it, so we will be doing that again. Also, we will be showing Rogue One, which is PG-13, in the Digitorium while they have the various activities that they'll be doing for Star Wars Day. I'm really hoping to have a stormtrooper come. I have not had a confirmation, but they're working really hard to get someone in the costume. They have the costume for us. It's just a friend that is hopefully coming for that. So I didn't advertise that, but I'm very excited about that. Yeah, they weren't available. They had something else going on May the 4th.
I guess.
So. Yep. And then the second item is our last 50th event on May 15th. I sent out an invite. I hope you all got it. If not, please let me know and I'll get you the information. May 15th from 3 to 4 p.m., we're going to have our reception for all of our 50th events over the year. We will be unveiling our book sculpture by My Thousand Words. This is not a picture of it. This is an example of what they have done with books. I just thought that would be a good way to promote our 50th. It'll live in our Nevada section of the library under lock and key, and it is a Nevada book that they use, so it's just going to be a really good way to promote 50 years of our service and a nice little reception for our 50th. What is not on here is the Petal Library. I know Sina had noted that we had... the little save the date for some upcoming events for the Petal Library. That has been taking off like crazy. We have had two interviews. We have multiple people coming, donating more money for the Petal Library. So it's just been really exciting that the community is so into that. We have 6 events coming up in the next 3 weeks that Sina is going to, I'm going to, Aubrey's going to. So it's just been very exciting how many people are interested in the Petal Library and it going around town.
Where exactly are you going? Do you know yet?
So Sina will be at Knowles Park tomorrow for Arbor Day with Carson City Parks and Rec. Next week, there's actually 2 events in Carson. There is the, what is the special people ride called?
Celebrity. Carson ride. City Celebrity Bike Ride.
And then they also have a Cruisers next week as well that I believe I should be able to attend. So they have a couple things then. And then the Friends book sale will be at that one. We also are going to go to the sheriff's office for their Cops and Kids Day. They close off Musser Street right in front of the sheriff's office. We'll be there for that event. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start going to the farmer's market.
Hmm. Cool.
Do you guys have anything planned for that with Epic Rides this summer?
Do you have anything in the works? We will most likely participate in it, but I haven't heard anything yet other than they want us there.
Yeah, we've been invited. We just don't know what we're going to do yet.
And it's the weekend we will be out of town since that was approved. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Moving on, we have our Youth Liaison Board of Trustees update. Maybe.
Sorry about that. We didn't have anybody attend our last meeting, so we didn't have anything from them for this month. I think with the wrap-up of the school year and testing, they started testing about 3 weeks ago, and the kids have been testing and testing and testing. I think they're just kind of done with anything that requires work. So we didn't have any attendance. We had a lot today, though, so we'll see and hopefully get them for next month and have something for you guys next month.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on. We have item 8. Board members' announcements. Did anybody have any announcements?
I was wondering if we were going to reinstitute the policy of overdue fines, please.
So that's not something, I mean, that's something that would need to come to the board if that was something we were going to do. We currently, and I believe have not since 2009, had fees or fines for overdue items. One of the things that it does require is a lot of work, a lot of accounting work. We do not have accounting staff besides Diane, and you know what Diane does, and it's a lot more than just that. And that money does go back to the city, and it does not come back to the library in any incremental increase in our budget.
Thank you.
I already told you about the parking lot sale and thing, but I also would like to mention that a memorial fund was started through us when Hazel Ryland passed away. And I just wanted to let you know that we had currently $1,200, which we put into the gift fund for the staff to, they made new bags for Sandy to use for her deliveries to the homebound. And I believe Rachel told me the other day they purchased something like 28 large print books.
Yes.
And the last $100 that came in will go to you like tomorrow, so you'll be able to purchase more.
She'll get some more books. Yeah, she put in an order of large print books. The bags are in order. They're coming soon. That's great. Yeah.
Thank you to all who donated, and thank you to the library staff for putting it to very good use, something that I think Hazel would have approved of.
And I'm not a library board member, but I did receive information about Hazel's memorial here in Carson City. I do not have that with me, but if there's any interest in attending that, I can provide that to you.
Please send that to me and I'll post it in the store because I know there's some of the volunteers that might be interested.
Okay, if there were no more board member announcements, then we can move on to item 9, public comment. If any members of the public would like to address the board, now would be the time. Seeing none, we will move to adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right, and I was informed that all we need to adjourn is a motion, so we are adjourned.
Okay.